visiting my aunt, who is not long for this world. Atlanta is an interesting place. Have you been? Atlanta? Interesting place. You always start off with describing something as interesting when what you really mean is, I don't get it. At all. The traffic in Atlanta is ridiculous. It is crazy. Going downtown is impossible. It is backed up both ways all day long. You look at it and you think, how is this possible? Where are these people going? Right? The downtown is not that big. It's pretty small for the size of Atlanta. Where are they going? I don't know. And then that's the highways. Stop and go. Crazy. You get off the highway and you go down the surface street and it's like NASCAR. I mean, people are driving like 80 miles an hour in like stop. You know what I'm talking about. It is nuts. I mean, it's like they got their helmets on, they're talking to their people. We gotta make up for the yellow flag. You know, it's just crazy. Atlanta wasn't really planned. It was kind of like this community that, you know, was kind of thrown together. And over time, it kind of just added on and added on and added on. It wasn't really designed for the city or the population or the technology that we have today. Your passage this morning in John 17 is trying to communicate the opposite. The exact opposite. What's weaved into the passage this morning is God's plan for creation from the beginning. And that plan has never changed. Jesus shows you a glimpse of this when he says, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I once had with you before the world was created. That was a big statement. He says, glorify those you have given me, the church. Keep them together as one, as you and I are one. If you think about those words long enough, what you realize is that God had a plan for all of creation from the beginning. And that plan is being carried out exactly as God intended. Jesus was always the plan from the beginning. That's how John starts his gospel out, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all of the things that it says about that. Jesus says something unusual in this passage. He says, I am no longer in the world. Sitting around talking with them. For the last chapter and the next chapter, he's kind of giving this long sermon. What do you mean? I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. This is part of his prayer. Then he clarifies, I am coming to you. Keep them, the church, in your name. Do you understand what this means? You get this? What he's trying to say? I don't know. I had the opportunity when I was in Atlanta to tour the Chick-fil-A headquarters. You know, Chick-fil-A is headquartered in Atlanta. And my cousin works for Chick-fil-A. He's worked there for a long time, over a decade. And he works now in the corporate office. So he gave me a tour, the grand tour of Chick-fil-A. You can actually sign up and do it on yourself. You don't have to have a cousin. But he gave me the grand tour. It was great. You know, I joke about Chick-fil-A all the time. It's Jesus chicken. And I mean, I think it's cute. But maybe you don't. I don't know. I like the company. I think they're great. I eat there all the time. Chick-fil-A is something else. I mean, you can feel the spirit even in the Chick-fil-A's around town, right? When you're in the bathroom at Chick-fil-A, you hear the elevator music, and it's worship songs that you know. You're like, praise the Lord, you know. It's just kind of like they have it in, baked into like everything they're about. You can feel the spirit. Well, I have to tell you that the headquarters of Chick-fil-A did not disappoint. It was fabulous. I felt like I was going to church. Like I was in a church building that happened to sell chicken on the side. That's how it was. I mean, I went in there and they have like a full auditorium church, you know, in the basement, kind of the building. It was really cool. It was great to see. They have cubicles where you can do like little devotionals on one of the floors and everything. Employees can kind of do their thing. And I mean, you know, the people are just like friendly, like you would see at church. You know, they're like, hi-yo, you know, praying for you, you know, that kind of thing. All through the building. This is where people work. I was like, wow, this is something else. Very impressed. We went into the founder's office, Truett Cathy, the guy who started the Chick-fil-A franchise. And his office is exactly the same as when he left it over 10 years ago, over a decade ago he's been gone. But his office is exactly the same. And the company operates exactly like when he was alive. And in fact, it operates as if he was still there. You hear where this is going? The commitment in this company by the employees is doing God's work. It's all over the building. All through the employees, the Spirit of God is alive and well in this place. I felt it multiple times. I felt it. Yeah, like Ed Schaefer moments. I was like, this is something. I'm being moved here. Great. In this sermon that you got in John 17, the red letters in your Bible, Jesus was intending to ascend to the Father post-resurrection, and it's kind of what he's describing. Was the church supposed to be the manifestation of God's Spirit in the world? Is that what he's talking about? Are you that church? Do you see yourself as that church? Manifestation, Christ in this world? Do you glow with the Spirit that God has put in your heart? Is that your identity? Is the glory of God, as Jesus prayed for in this passage, shown through in your personal life? I think the answer to that question for everyone in this room is yes. This isn't about who does the most good deeds. This is about the work of God in the world through the people of His church. All of it, even the smallest little thing, matters. This is the purpose for all creation. That the glory of God should be shown through God's work in his people. Everyone who is called by my name, I created for my glory. That sounds like a Bible verse, doesn't it? Everyone who is called by my name, I created for my glory. That is a Bible verse. It's Isaiah 43:7. I picked it up on my tour. Even being with my Aunt Patty and sitting there and kind of talking with her and just sharing that moment, knowing that the end of her journey was close, we talked about the promises of God. We talked about the resurrection of the dead. We talked about eternal life. We talked about why did God create what he created. In those moments, you realize that we are all created for eternity. That this was God's purpose. We all were created for the glory of God. I had a chance to drive home. It was 9.5 hours. A lot of time alone, you know, thinking and praying. And you have a lot of the, what is the meaning of life kind of thoughts that just sort of run through your head. And when I think about most people's what are the meaning of life thoughts, they sort of fall short. I mean, I kind of ran through a list, and just, you know, raising kids and getting a new job so I can pay my bills and finding yourself just to lose yourself in death. I don't know. It was just kind of like, eh. None of these matched up. No. All of creation is as Jesus says. All is for the glory of God. It's like the thing at Chick-fil-A when I was there visiting, the founder, the owner, Truett Cathin. He didn't do all those things to show off how good he was or how generous he could be or how obedient he could prove to God that he was. That wasn't what it was about. It appears to me, after seeing all that I saw there and the entire story, he did it all for the glory of God. To shine a light on what God is doing through his holy church, through his people. I know what you're thinking. I'm going to go by me some Chick-fil-A chicken today to support, you know, the cause. You can't! Because they're closed. Because today's the Sabbath. This is the day.